Last month, President Biden announced he wanted to boost funding for research on cancer and other diseases.
So many of us have deceased sons, daughters, and relatives who died of cancer. I can think of no more worthy investment. I know of nothing that is more bipartisan. So let's end cancer as we know it. It's within our power. It's within our power to do it.
But experts say the fight against cancer is unwinnable if there isn't also a focus on preventing the disease by regulating carcinogens. The Environmental Protection Agency has historically been slow to act on known carcinogens, and much more research is needed to find out exactly which toxins are making us sick. So what would it actually take to win the war on cancer? Here to explain is Diana Zuckerman, president of the National Center of Health Research. Diana, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, first, what kinds of carcinogens are we talking about here? Carcinogens in products sold in stores and in food? Are we talking about environmental exposures?
Well, unfortunately, it's all of the above. There are so many chemicals and other substances that we know can cause cancer or know that it does cause cancer. And some of them are in our environment and some of them are in our home environment. Some of them are in our backyards. So that we really need to have that comprehensive view of what is causing cancers and doing something about it.
And what do you make of President Biden's plan? He said he wants to eradicate cancer. What does that realistically look like?
Clearly, he's very heartfelt on this issue, but his focus has really been on treatments. And that's why he wants to do a new agency within the National Institutes of Health that would focus on cancer, but focus on it as a treatment. That's what NIH does. I mean, they do look at causes, but they're not looking so much at prevention. And that's what's been missing always. And that's rather typical of political leaders.
Okay, so there's more of a focus on treating cancer versus preventing cancer. Can you tell us what has the so-called war on cancer looked like in the past?
So far, the war on cancer has looked at what is called prevention, but is actually early diagnosis. So you hear a lot about screening. There's a lot of interest in screening for all kinds of cancers where that's possible. And that is effective at diagnosing early, but it isn't really prevention usually. But most kinds of screening, whether it's mammograms or other kinds of screening that people are most knowledgeable about, really is about finding an early cancer, but the cancer is already there. And so that's why the war on cancer has always been very limited, because it's focused on the cancer once it's started, rather than looking at how can we prevent it to begin with.
Biden did mention prevention in his speech. He talked, I think, more specifically about screening for cancer. What are your thoughts on that approach?
It's a good approach as far as it goes, but it is not the way to really end cancer. If we want to end cancer, we've got thousands and thousands of chemicals that we're being exposed to, many of us, every day. These chemicals are in our bodies. The various federal agencies have studied them, and they know that we have them in our bodies. And what we don't know usually is how high those levels have to be to cause cancer. And that's always going to be different for different people. So if you want to end cancer as we know it, you would want to have much more information about what are these levels, which are the chemicals, what are the combination of chemicals, and who are the people who are most vulnerable, most likely to develop cancer if they are exposed to particular chemicals and other substances.
Diana, public health experts who have spent their careers examining environmental causes of cancer say it may not be possible to truly stop cancer without the EPA stepping in. What is President Biden's strategy?
We haven't heard about strategy pertaining to EPA, although his administration has already started to make some corrections of where EPA has been going in the last couple of years. I should just say that at the end of the Obama administration, an amendment to what's called the Toxic Substances Control Act, or TSCA, an amendment was made that was a bipartisan effort. It was a very big deal at the time of a compromise between what new chemicals and what old chemicals would finally be studied and perhaps in some cases taken off the market in exchange for giving states less control over what they did. So, for example, states like California tended to have much higher standards than other states. So the purpose of this compromise legislation was to put everybody on a more similar level playing field. But what happened in the last 4 years was that these new regulations that were supposed to take place, these new reviews and these new efforts to get carcinogenic chemicals off the market just stopped. And they stopped because they stopped doing the right kind of research. They stopped looking at the right kind of research. And so hundreds of new chemicals went on the market that were potentially dangerous, but weren't being studied. So the Biden administration has started reversing that, and that's great. But there are thousands of chemicals out there that we still know very little about. But we do know they have the, in many cases, they have the possibility of causing cancer.
And what is the role of regulation here? How is the EPA falling short in terms of the regulation of carcinogens?
EPA is supposed to look at the new chemicals as they are ready to go on the market and not allow them on the market if they show signs of being carcinogenic, and instead requiring that they be studied. But there's still thousands of old chemicals that have already been on the market, and so there's this huge backlog, and EPA needs to look at those as well. So EPA was supposed to find the chemicals that were most likely to cause cancer. And by that, I mean ones that probably we already know cause cancer, but we just don't know under what conditions they cause cancer. So that was what the EPA was supposed to be doing the last few years and stopped doing. And under the Biden administration, some of these policies have been reversed back to what the law is supposed to require, which is reviewing and then taking action.
So they just stopped reviewing whether certain products sold in stores are carcinogenic or potentially carcinogenic. It's interesting. Every time I see a warning on a product that says, you know, this is potentially carcinogenic, I'm like, why do we even allow this to be sold in stores then if it's possibly carcinogenic?
That's such a good question. And by the way, just in the last couple of days, there have been new reports about new evidence. And I'll just very briefly mention what they are. The Inspector General of EPA came out saying that EPA need to do a better job. So that's a good step in the right direction, where they're saying, oops, you know, there are certain chemicals that we should be looking at more carefully that we haven't looked at yet. And in addition to that, a new study came out showing that PFAS, which are these chemicals known as forever chemicals, they've been in the news a lot lately, do cause kidney cancer. And that was in a journal called the Journal of National Cancer Institute. It was already assumed or thought that PFAS could cause kidney cancer or testicular cancer, but now we have a new study showing that people who have more PFAS in their bodies, in their blood, are much more likely to be diagnosed with kidney cancer.
And where do we find this chemical PFAS?
Well, unfortunately, it's everywhere. I mean, it's in our homes, definitely. It's in stain-proof carpeting. It can be in our nonstick cookware, and it's also, you know, outside as well. So this is is something that has been in the news a bit lately, but I think a lot of people are still not aware of. You know, you have have all of these different chemical abbreviations, the PFAS, the PFOA. You know, people do get confused, but and for good reason. But we're now finding very clear evidence that these chemicals not only cause cancer, but they accumulate and they don't go away. And that's why they're called forever chemicals, because they last for many, many years.
Okay. And how much is the White House focusing on environmental causes of cancer?
It seems not much. Another new study that came out about air pollution found that, not surprisingly, that, you know, air pollution can cause lung cancer, breast cancer, liver cancer, and pancreatic cancer. So there, you know, we really need at least a two-pronged approach if we want to end cancer. And treatment is very important. Screening is very important. But we need to look inside our homes, as well as air pollution and other emissions outside our homes.
The timing of this announcement is interesting. It seems like the scramble to research and treat COVID-19 moved some of our attention and funding away from cancer research. But it also seems like the success of the COVID vaccines have also shown us what can happen when we put a bunch of resources into trying to solve a big health problem.
That's absolutely true. We've certainly realized that if you throw a lot of money at a problem under certain circumstances with a lot of motivation, you can achieve what seemed absolutely impossible. But it is true that it's been hard for, to get attention to cancer issues when COVID has really taken over not just our lives, but our news cycles.
Diana Zuckerman is the president of the National Center for Health Research. Diana, thank you so much.
Thank you.